Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Dr. Scott Hardiman, as we do each Monday, about coronavirus, about the vaccines, about all of the things that you're hearing. We try to sort through the muck and get you some real answers. Doctor, thanks for holding on with us. First question here comes from Vicky on Facebook. And let me find, I just lost it here. Okay, here it is. Can Dr. Hardiman explain the difference between the two-shot and the one-shot vaccine? I've been researching it, but he always explains things so well. That's for Vicky.
Sure. So the two-shot vaccines are Moderna and Pfizer, and they're what are called mRNA vaccines. They use a sort of a adjuvant to get that genetic code into the cells that way. During their study, they looked at the reduction in mild to moderate cases and all the way up to severe to critical cases over the trial or study period of time, and essentially found that they're more efficacious if you give a second shot, or essentially kind of a booster in close order to the first shot. In reality, the first shot provides a very robust immune response. I think generally it's accepted that they're around 90 to 91% effective at reducing severe to critical illness in after the first vaccine dose, and then that bumps up in that 95% range with the second dose. The third vaccine to be approved is the one that just came out, J&J, and that's also a genetic vaccine, but it uses a DNA code, and they use a viral vector called adenovirus to get the genetic code into the cell. And they did at one point look at two-shot series, but found that the results were very good with one shot. It's a little easier to store without having all the requirements on refrigeration there. And so having one shot, I mean, that really is kind of a game changer, because it allows you to just get out there and get people to that robust immune response quicker, and can roll it out to other people, especially in rural areas or places where there may not be the capacity to have these refrigerated vaccine doses like that. So, you know, we kind of split hairs a little bit. One's 85% effective, one's 95% effective. We should remember that our gold standard for these things, around 40 or 50% efficacy, like the influenza vaccine. And so there's really no significant difference in that. I think people are going to be faced with the decision of, well, do I get this vaccine or that vaccine? Right now, it's probably going to be whichever one's available to you. Right. And all these vaccines, when people get them, they cut down on getting the illness and transmission so much that we start to see that, coupled with the cases, natural cases we have, it's just creating a dramatic reduction overall in cases.
Dr. Scott Hardiman on the phone with us, physician at Gateway ENT and urgent specialist, and our specialist on all things considering coronavirus. This question comes from Facebook, the Antifry Facebook page, from Christopher. It says, did we really cure the flu? How do we explain the incredible drop in flu cases this flu season versus last?
Yeah, I think there's some theories about that that are out there too. We had talked a little bit last week about that, but I think at the end of the day, it has to do with the fact that there's, you know, less large groups and gatherings of people. Kids really aren't in school to a large degree. We've been masking and socially distancing. And then you take the fact that the influenza, while it's a contagious virus, it certainly doesn't appear to be as contagious as what the coronavirus is. And so it's created an environment where we've sort of pushed it aside. Is it cured? No. There are still cases of A and B out there. They're just nowhere near the numbers that they had been previous years. And that's cyclical like anything else. So, you know, they'll be making predictions about which influenza vaccine to roll out for the next year of respiratory season coming up here relatively soon based upon what happens in Asia. So the flu is always going to be back. It's one of those things that just tends to be endemic and commonly seen.
So here's a question from Mars on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. He said, I've had the vaccine. When will I have to get another round? He said he got Moderna. Did Moderna say 2 years? So based on the different vaccines that are out there, we're used to getting annual flu shots. What's the thought process on this one?
I don't know that they know yet, to tell you the truth. That's going to continue to be studied all the time. In theory, this is something that they can make modifications to based upon any variants or changes like you could with the flu vaccine every year. And so I think that depending on what happens with these variants, if they're new variants, if the vaccines are deemed to be not overly effective against the strains that are out there circulating at the time, there may be boosters or follow-up shots at that. But as far as when to get it again, it's difficult to know. Vaccines largely tend to produce a pretty profound immune response via antibody production. They don't necessarily prime the memory system quite as much, but in theory they do. And so I think over time, as we get further down the path, we'll know by tracking the study patients and their antibody levels if this is something that needs to be boosted again in 8 months, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years. It depends on what the antibody levels do in the study group.
Dr. Scott Hardiman, a question from the Annie Fry Facebook page from Jackie. What about the side effects that people are reporting, tremors, et cetera, and the efficacy with new strains?
The side effects, so they're continuing, folks are getting the vaccine are continuing to have the study group looked at constantly. Also, people who are getting the vaccines can report any adverse events that are accumulated to a national database and continue to monitor that. The statistics on that is as we've ramped up the number of vaccines over 70 million now have been given is that it's generally not occurring outlying in any numbers with any other vaccines that are there. And so I think over time we'll get a better sense of that as well. But it seems as if the safety profiles are holding steady at this point. Against the variants, generally I would say these vaccines are being looked at very aggressively for that now, and it seems like there is significant activity against all the circulating variants that are out there, some more so than others, but carryover levels, the viruses are not completely mutating, and so I think that there's going to be a good level of immune response even to those variants in the near short term. But the more people that get towards that immune status or as we inch towards that quote-unquote herd immunity, if the variants have a hard time penetrating into the environment, there's less hosts it can go to because there's just not as much virus circulating in general. So the quicker we get to that point, the better it will be overall to stop those variants from having a significant impact.
Dr. Hardiman, I've heard that it's still possible to transmit COVID after vaccination. Can you still be a carrier and give it to someone else?
So the transmission was not directly looked at in the initial studies. They essentially looked at the severity of disease and the reduction in the illness in individuals that were vaccinated. It stands to reason scientifically that if you're cutting down on the severity of the illness, you're cutting down on viral load, you're cutting down on number of people getting it, that the transmission would be highly unlikely after you've had the vaccine. The folks that kind of argue the opposite direction, well, it wasn't studied, so we don't know. There are a couple of studies recently. I believe it was Moderna that did say that they looked at transmission and it was substantially less in the vaccinated group. And the same is really true for folks that have had the virus naturally, is that once you have good blocking antibody levels and a strong immune response to it, it's extremely unlikely that we would walk around harboring virus as sort of a symbiote or just living in our system that we could pass to others with any significant amount, because your body is going to be trying to neutralize that the second you're exposed to it. So I think that really lends itself to why there's strong arguments being made that as we can start to relax some of these masking requirements and social distancing things as we get more and more people both who've had the virus and also who've had the vaccine. So in my opinion, transmission is extremely unlikely either with having had the virus naturally or having had the vaccine.
Dr. Hardiman, this was a question I had asked to me personally this weekend, and it was from somebody who was able to get the first round of the vaccine, and they had heard us talking about this last week, and you had suggested, the possibility, just kind of throwing it out there as a thought experiment, about if we would focus on getting more people the first round of the vaccine rather than making sure that everybody gets their second vaccine, the double round of these. Can you talk a little bit about that, make sure I'm getting that right? Is the second installment of these vaccines, is it the same shot as the first? And how effective is just that first round of vaccine proving to be for people?
Right. I think, when your goal is to get as many people vaccinated as quickly as possible to try and, break those chains of transmission, it stands to reason that if you could spread out those doses, in theory, you'd vaccinate twice the number of people, right? So in places like England, they've looked at that and they found that expanding the duration of time as much as 3 months between vaccine doses versus 2 to 3 weeks, which is what we're doing here, that it allowed them to have a supply catch up and able to have a great result with their vaccine. So the vaccine is very effective even after the first dose. It was studied obviously through the FDA in two doses, and so it's important to get to that point. But there are strong arguments to be made to stretch that interval of time out, not necessarily not give the second dose, but to stretch that interval out to be able to get more people vaccinated. Dr. Fauci seems to be unmoved by that. He seems to be fairly regimented and just, you know, stick with the routine. And hopefully he's right, and hopefully that the supply catches up with the demand and that won't be an issue. But yes, from a thought experiment standpoint, it stands to reason if you've got a vaccine that is, you know, roughly 90% effective with one shot after 2 to 3 weeks, you know, you could stretch that interval of time out. Some even show it may be more effective if you stretch that time interval out, that you could vaccinate more people and get farther down the path quicker.
I think it's a really interesting perspective. It's why we love having you here so much. Dr. Hardiman, physician at Gateway ENT and urgent specialist, thanks so much for your time. It's always a highlight of the week. We appreciate you being here.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much. I appreciate you guys doing this, too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.